California or from all agents. This is NPR.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Raven Bookstore, independently serving the local community for over 30 years. The Raven Bookstore is located at 809 Mass Street in Lawrence or online at ravenbookstore.com.
61 degrees in Lawrence, 62 in Topeka. The time is 6:06. From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Everyone can leave a gift to KPR through their will. It's an inspired way to support an organization that's enriched your life and that of others in your community. Learn more about leaving a legacy gift to KPR at kansaspublicradio.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Coming up next, part two of our interview with journalist and author Bob Woodward about his latest book, which is titled War. We'll get an update of news headlines at 6:30. Then we will learn from Danielle Kurtzleben about former President Donald Trump and his Fox News town hall that happened in front of an all-woman audience. Huge gender gap has opened up in the electorate this year, so we'll find out how that went. We will learn about the role of jailhouse lawyers, all coming up before 7 o'clock. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center of Johnson County Community College, featuring the Opus 76 Quartet, Christmas with the Celts, and more this season. Single tickets available at jccc.edu/Midwest Trust Center.
We do have a red flag warning for about another 40 minutes today for Clay, Dickinson, and Ottawa counties. A fire weather watch till 8 p.m. for most of the rest of the KPR listening area, including Emporia, Topeka, Manhattan, Lawrence, Atchison, and the Kansas City Metro. A red flag warning for all those areas, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning through 8 o'clock tomorrow night. If you had been planning on doing some burning tomorrow, I would reconsider that. Check with your county offices, but it is going to be a very dangerous day for outdoor burning tomorrow. It is 6:20.
Female journalists for now.
It's not a monolithic movement, the Taliban. There are individuals who are more pragmatic than others. The situation on the ground is a lot more nuanced.
The state of press freedom in Afghanistan tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, 5 to 9 a.m. It's Morning Edition with Layla Fadel, also A. Martinez, and our own Jay Schaefer.
Support for KPR comes from Eagles Rest, a locally owned custom furniture store in downtown Lawrence, featuring Stressless brand chairs and other sustainably made handcrafted furniture. Information online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com.
Clear skies tonight with a low in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs around 70. Very, very dry. A red flag warning for most of tomorrow for virtually all of the KPR listening area. It's 6:30.
Registration for about 7,000 people. For NPR News, I'm Cassidy Arena in Lincoln, Nebraska.
This is NPR News.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Republican Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach and officials from Missouri and Idaho are asking a federal judge to make it harder to access the abortion pill mifepristone. They want the court to reinstate older restrictions around the drug that would limit its use after 7 weeks of pregnancy instead of 10 and require 3 in-person doctor's visits. None are currently required. It would also ban prescribing to minors. The request is more limited than a previous challenge to the drug that the U.S. Supreme Court rejected this summer. Mifepristone is used in around 60% of the abortions performed in Kansas. Members of the public filled a committee room at the Kansas State House this morning as lawmakers held an informational hearing on medical marijuana. Legislators heard about the history of the drug and what it might look like if Kansas legalizes it for medical use. Dustin Ruggie is with the Kansas Pharmacists Association. He says if medical marijuana is legalized in Kansas, it should be dispensed through already existing pharmacies.
Pharmacists are uniquely positioned to provide essential services related to cannabis use, including screening for medication-cannabis interactions, monitoring usage and potential misuse, and counseling patients on proper use and storage.
The Kansas House passed a medical marijuana bill in 2022, but the Senate never voted on it. Lawmakers will host a second hearing later this month. The University of Kansas has received a grant from the State Health Department to expand its sexual violence prevention work. The grant will allow KU's Sexual Assault Prevention and Education Center to launch a new project called Cultivating Protective Communities. Director Jen Brockman says the center will build on work it has done with KU fraternities and sororities to educate students on healthy relationships and bystander awareness.
The next step is to think about how does our environment either support or hinder our ability to create a safer and more welcoming and inclusive environment.
She says the center will also use the grant to replicate that program in Wichita, Hayes, and Garden City and focus on reducing opportunities for sexual violence. You're listening to KPR. The time is 6:35.
Support for NPR comes from this.
Brings you reporting from around the world.
NPR's Kerry Khan is covering all this from the Venezuelan city of Caracas.
And we also realize there's plenty to learn at home, literally.
Here's my compost bin in the freezer. We've got us some tomato bits, and now we're adding 2 tea bags.
Listen for the latest headlines plus useful life hacks every weekday on Morning Edition.
Tune in tomorrow beginning at 5 a.m., 5 to 9 a.m. whenever you like. Tune in. Get the latest national, international, and regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar, installing solar since 1982 and now offering whole backup battery systems, such as Tesla Powerwalls for Kansas and Missouri. More information at cromwellsolar.com.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 96.1 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia. Lots of frequencies due to the generosity of listeners just like you. Listen online anytime at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Delta Dental of Kansas with flexible individual and family dental insurance options, including dental implant coverage. More at deltadentalks.com/shop.
A little more All Things Considered still to come. If you're joining us on KPR One, stay tuned for Evening Classical with Destiny, starting following the 7 o'clock news and Stardate. If you're joining us on KPR Two, up next we have the Moth Radio Hour. We have a red flag warning in effect for most of tomorrow for most of the KPR listening area. Fire weather watch till 8 p.m. tonight for the same area, including Lawrence, Topeka, Emporia, Manhattan, Atchison, and the Kansas City Metro. And a red flag warning for about another 10 minutes for Clay, Dickinson, and Ottawa counties.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered.
From the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing transformative youth and criminal justice reforms.
NPR is here for the lifelong learners, the investigators, the curious. It's here for you. Keep listening and growing with NPR.
We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio, proud to be your NPR station from the University of Kansas. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1, Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City 91.3. KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Dole Institute of Politics, honoring former Supreme Court Justice and founder of iCivics, Sandra Day O'Connor, with the Dole Leadership Prize, Thursday, October 24th, 7 p.m. More at doleinstitute.org.
Stay tuned. We have news headlines coming up next, followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music with Destiny. Then we shift gears a little bit. You'll hear jazz in the late night hours. Stick around here on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Liberty Hall in 1313 Mockingbird Lane as they present Bram Stoker's Dracula, showing at Liberty Hall from October 18th to 20th. Tickets available at the Liberty Hall box office or online at libertyhall.net.
Clear skies tonight with a low in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine, highs around 70. Clear tomorrow night, lows in the upper 40s. Going to stay dry all the way through Sunday night when we do have a chance of showers. Red flag warning, high fire danger tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. for most of the KPR listening area. It's 7:01.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Vice President Kamala Harris criticized her opponent, Donald Trump, for calling himself the father of IVF. Trump has been trying to appeal more to female voters who favor Harris by a considerable margin in a tight election. NPR's Deepa Shivram has more.
At a town hall for women voters on Tuesday, Trump said Republicans are the party of in vitro fertilization and declared himself, quote, the father of IVF. Harris called Trump's comments bizarre and said families who are hoping to use IVF have been put at risk because of him. The vice president also said Trump was unfit to be president. Harris is rallying today in Pennsylvania with Republicans at her side as she tries to broaden her support in the critical swing state. Deepa Shivaram, NPR News, Washington Crossing, Pennsylvania.
With polls showing Donald Trump well behind with female voters, the former president did a town hall on Fox News today with an all-woman audience. He took mostly friendly questions on issues like the economy and immigration, but then one pointed question on reproductive rights. More from NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben.
One woman asked Trump why government should be involved in, as she put it, women's basic rights. Trump responded that abortion policy is now in states' hands. Here he is with host Harris Faulkner.
And the states are now voting for it. And honestly, some of them are going much more liberal, like in Ohio. I would have thought it might
some of them
be
are not
different. And some of them are not, but it's going to be redone. It's going to be redone.
However, Trump has not explained which state laws he thinks are too tough. The Kamala Harris campaign has been emphasizing restrictive state laws as causing harm to women. Danielle Kurtzleben, NPR News.
Rules that strictly limit climate warming pollution from existing coal and new gas power plants have survived an initial challenge before the U.S. Supreme Court. More from NPR's Jeff Brady.
The Environmental Protection Agency finalized the power plant rules last spring. Opponents, including coal states, the coal industry, and utilities, argue the agency overstepped its authority under law. Meantime, they wanted a stay placed on the rules, but now justices have rejected that request. David Doniger is an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council.
It's a good day because, look, the climate crisis is way upon us. We just had two big reminders in the form of two big hurricanes.
Greenhouse gases from burning fossil fuels are raising temperatures, heating up oceans, making hurricanes more intense. Power plants are the second largest source of climate pollution after transportation. Jeff Brady, NPR News.
The Federal Trade Commission is hoping a new rule it's calling Click to Cancel makes it easier for people to end unwanted subscriptions and memberships. New rule approved today prohibiting retailers and other businesses from misleading people about subscriptions and requiring consumer consent before charging for memberships, auto renewals, and other programs. The FTC also says businesses need to disclose when free trials and other promotional offers come to an end. The provisions would take effect within the next 6 months. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Workday. With AI at the core of its system, Workday is committed to delivering continuous innovation to prepare organizations for what's next. Workday, an enterprise platform for finance and HR rock stars. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate October 16th. The full moon lights up the sky the next couple of nights. It's full early tomorrow when the moon and sun line up on opposite sides of Earth. And the moon is especially close to us tonight, the second closest passage of the year, so it's especially bright. Because this is the first full moon after the harvest moon, which we saw in September, it's known as the Hunter's Moon. The Hunter's Moon follows the harvest moon because long ago, when the full moons were named, the hunt always followed the harvest. After farmers reaped their crops in September or early October, the fields were bare and open. There was no place for game to hide, so hunters took advantage of the next full moon, the Hunter's Moon, to track their quarry. There's no practical reason to keep these names today. Still, the names of the full moons add a bit of romance or mystery to what might otherwise sound mundane. Hunter's Moon has a lot more appeal than simply the full moon of October. The full moon always rises around sunset and sets at sunrise. It's easy to forget that the moon rises later every day, so sometimes it appears in daylight. But it's so pale compared to the sun that we seldom even notice it. You won't have any trouble noticing the moon tonight, though. Look for it beginning around sundown, lighting the way for hunters, and the rest of us too. We'll talk about some other nearby celestial neighbors tomorrow. And we have more sky watching tips, astronomy news, and much more about the universe in Stardate magazine. Details at stardate.org. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
A quick allegro by Satie for us here on KPR, Jean-Yves Thibaudet performing. Hi there. I am your host, Destiny. So glad you're here with me. Tonight is a fun program. Indeed it is. In about half an hour, I have something about a woman named Jane. Is it my alter ego, my other personality, or is it an outlaw like Calamity Jane? I don't know. You're going to have to guess because your dear old host Destiny here loves to keep you guessing. You will get why I picked what is coming up next, but first I have to invite you to please come hear me perform to play violin with my friends live day Friday night, October 25th. That's right. It's a Halloween concert and it's free. Spooky tales and tunes, like I said, live at the Lawrence Public Library and broadcast on KPR. I would really like to meet you in person, though. So come out and support us. Friday night, October 25th, 7 p.m. You can check out the details at kansaspublicradio.org. Speaking of Jane, Calamity Jane was an outlaw. So was Billy the Kid. Did you know that on this day in 1938, Aaron Copland's Billy the Kid ballet suite premiered? Indeed it did. So, of course, it's a perfect reason to listen to it. Right now on KPR with David Zinman conducting the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, yeehaw! Here on KPR, Billy the Kid, Ballet Suite by Aaron Copland. David Zinman conducting the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra, my alma mater orchestra that I used to play with. Oh boy, I love Copland. I also like banjos and fiddles, since I do, after all, play the violin, I mean the fiddle. So in about, 14 minutes, I have a really special evening ender. Oh, it's actually not an evening ender because I still have a whole other hour afterwards of a show. So we'll just say it's an hour one ender. Right now, Jane, I was teasing you about Jane, something about a woman named Jane. Well, this is not the outlaw Jane. No, it is Jane Eyre from the classic novel. And John Williams in the 80s wrote a suite, a three-movement suite that he actually premiered with the Boston Pops Orchestra. And I have that recording. It's going to be a nice listen. It was adapted for the television series when it came out many moons ago. This is, like I said, with John Williams conducting the Boston Pops Orchestra himself, his very own Jane Eyre suite at Lowood to Thornfield and the Return, here on KPR.
Thank you.
Ah, isn't that nice? Jane Eyre Suite by John Williams here on KPR with John Williams conducting the Boston Pops Orchestra. Reminds me of Vaughn Williams in a way. I really enjoyed that. We need to get the yeehaw back. Oh my goodness. Well, it's time. I've got a fun tune for you by the composer William Kroll. He wrote two things, both of which are my favorites. The first is called Donkey Doodle that students can often play. It's very accessible to them. And then he wrote this thing that we're about to listen to. It's very challenging, and it's called Banjo and Fiddle, played by violinist Elmar Oliveira and Bob McDonald on piano, right now on KPR. William Kroll's Banjo and Fiddle here on KPR with Elmar Oliveira on violin and Robert McDonald on piano. That was fun. Come back next hour for more fun here on KPR.
At Morning Edition from NPR News, we bring you the latest on everything from the presidential race to what interest rates are doing. But we also share stories that take us into other people's lives.
You actually played your horn while they were inside your skull.
Absolutely. Doesn't everybody?
Listen for the unexpected with the news weekdays on Morning Edition.
Morning Edition is here for you weekdays on KPR from 5 to 9 a.m. Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard in Kansas City. And more information can be found at greenladylounge.com. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for news on KPR comes from the Midwest Trust Center, presenting Hotel Elsinore this evening, a play with weary travelers and unexpected will, and a production of Hamlet to rehearse before morning. Details at jccc.edu/mtc.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Democratic presidential candidate Kamala Harris is back in the linchpin state of Pennsylvania, Harris continuing her efforts to woo voters there today. The vice president joined at the event by what her campaign said were more than 100 Republicans who said they'll vote for her over their own party candidate, former President Trump.
We are here today because we share a core belief that we must put country before party.
Harris will also be taking part in a series of interviews, including an interview with Fox News. Trump is participating in a widely televised event today, a town hall-style meeting on Univision. It's part of an effort by the Republican presidential nominee to go after Hispanic voters. A new line for Elon Musk's resume, Republican mega donor. Since endorsing Trump in July, Musk has given $75 million to a super PAC he created to support the former president's reelection effort. Here's NPR's Eric McDaniel.
Musk isn't the only Silicon Valley bigwig in Trump's corner, but he's the biggest among them. The man, reportedly the world's richest, joins longtime GOP power broker Miriam Adelson, who gave $100 million, and railroad heir Tim Mellon, $125 million, in the highest echelon of Trump's backers. Vice President Harris's largest individual backer is Mike Bloomberg, to the tune of $19 million, along with LinkedIn founder Reid Hoffman, who's pitched in $10. Despite her comparative lack of mega donors, though, Harris remains a fundraising powerhouse. Her groups have banked $1 billion since her presidential bid kicked off.
Eric McDaniel, NPR News, the White House.
Some 100 million people in the U.S. have some form of health care debt. Deep political divides have made national fixes tough, but out in the states, Democrats and Republicans have been quietly working together on the issue. Noam Levy with our partner KFF Health News has more.
In recent years, more than 20 states have enacted laws to protect patients from medical debt. They've restricted hospital billing and boosted aid for low-income patients. Perhaps most remarkable, many measures have drawn bipartisan support. Here's Republican Paul Renner. He's Speaker of the Florida House of Representatives.
It affects people regardless of their party, regardless of their background, or certainly any significant medical procedure can place people into bankruptcy. This is a real issue.
In Illinois and Rhode Island, legislation barring medical bills from credit reports passed with virtually no opposition. Nationally, voters want more. Polls show more than 80% of both Republicans and Democrats back limits on medical debt collections.
That's Noam Levy with our partner KFF Health News. Stocks gained ground on some stronger than expected quarterly earnings numbers from big companies like Morgan Stanley, United Airlines, and others today. The Dow was up 337 points to close at 43,077. The Nasdaq gained 51 points to 18,367. The S&P was up 27 points. You're listening to NPR.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Bonnie, 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 bon
a traditional Scottish folk tune for you this evening to open this hour on KPR's Evening Classical. Loch Lomond, I am your dear old host, Destiny, and that was the Exultate Chamber Choir. Gorgeous. For those of you out there that love Scottish folk songs, I have a great, great, great Scottish fantasy coming up at around 8:28. And well, it would appear as though this Wednesday of this week we are featuring violinists, because I'm a violinist and I'm not biased at all. You know, did you know you can hear me play the violin Friday night, October 25th at 7 p.m. live in the flesh, Halloween concert? Family-friendly, spooky fun. I will be hosting it with my friends and actually playing the instrument, not the radio. It's a part of our annual live day here at KPR, and gosh, I would love to see you there and meet you. Get all the details at kansaspublicradio.org. Now, I don't want to offend any of our Irish friends out there. If I'm going to play something that's Scottish, I also have to play something that's Irish. I am both Scottish and Irish, as well as many other things. I have a lovely Irish Rhapsody by Victor Herbert. We get to listen to it right now on KPR with Keith Bryan conducting the Slavic Radio Symphony Orchestra. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Irish Rhapsody here on KPR with Keith Bryan conducting the Slavic Radio Symphony Orchestra. Like I said, it's been a fun evening of music. And like I say, from the University of Kansas, it's your place to find fun and NPR news, Kansas Public Radio. We're 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City, online at kansaspublicradio.org. You can also be fun like one of our awesome sponsors, Cromwell Solar, supporting classical music. Since 1982, they've been installing automatic backup battery systems for uninterrupted power to residential homes or businesses. Maybe they can install a battery in me, because I don't have enough energy. More information is at cromwellsolar.com. Okay, Scottish Fantasy by Max Brook. A brilliant, brilliant thing for the violin to play, I must say, and I have quite the recording here. It's with the Gewandhaus Orchestra and Kurt Mazur conducting. Our violinist, for you Italian fans out there, is Salvatore Accardo. Let's enjoy it right now on KPR.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brooks Scottish Fantasy, How Grand and Majestic, here on KPR with Kurt Mazur conducting the Gewandhaus Orchestra, Salvatore Accardo on violin. I am Destiny, your violinist host, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. NPR News is up next on KPR.
At NPR, it's our job to be skeptical.
So tell me, why is this not already happening?
And provide context to the day's headlines.
Where does this leave U.S. efforts to try to broker a ceasefire to end the war? Where does it stand?
This is independent reporting you can trust. This is NPR.
And this is KPR. Do you have an old car or truck taking up space in your garage? Skip the hassle of selling it and donate it to KPR. We'll pick it up and you'll get a tax deduction. Learn more at kansaspublicradio.org. From the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen online at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio. As a KPR listener, you can leave an inspired and lasting gift to our community by making a gift through your will. For more information, talk with your legal or financial advisor or email us at legacy@kansaspublicradio.org. And support for classical music on KPR comes from the Green Lady Lounge, featuring Kansas City jazz music, cocktails, wine, and beer, live Kansas City jazz, 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Information is at greenladylounge.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. In an interview today on Fox News, Vice President Kamala Harris was pressed on immigration policy and positions she took when she was running for president in 2019 that she does not hold now. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, it was 30 minutes of intense back and forth.
About halfway through their at times heated exchange, Fox News host Brett Baer asked a question that Harris didn't answer very well in more friendly interviews last week. What would she do differently than President Biden? This time, she was ready.
My presidency will not be a continuation of Joe Biden's presidency. And like every new president that comes in to office, I will bring my life experiences, my professional experiences, and fresh and new ideas. I represent a new generation of leadership.
This was Harris's first formal sit-down interview with Fox News, an openly pro-Trump network. She was there on a mission to reach moderate Republicans. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
The Justice Department is sending election monitors to a county in Ohio where the sheriff's been accused of trying to intimidate voters. NPR's Ryan Lucas reports the officials will monitor compliance with federal voting rights laws.
The monitors are being sent to Portage County, Ohio, where they will be in place for the early voting period and on Election Day. The Justice Department is responsible for enforcing federal voting rights laws that protect the rights of American citizens to access the ballot. The department says voters in Portage County expressed concerns about intimidation stemming from the surveillance and collection of personal information regarding voters. DOJ did not provide details, but the county sheriff, Bruce Sukowski, has been criticized for a social media post last month about collecting the addresses of people with Kamala Harris yard signs and sending immigrants to live with them if she wins. Sukowski later removed the post. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
Over 11 million pounds of meat and poultry are being recalled over listeria concerns. As NPR's Rachel Treisman reports, they're sold in products at grocery stores across the U.S.
The Oklahoma-based company Bruce Pack is recalling hundreds of ready-to-eat salads, pastas, wraps, and frozen meals, most of which contain chicken. They're sold at popular supermarket chains and retailers like Kroger, Trader Joe's, Target, and Walmart. The U.S. Department of Agriculture detected listeria during routine product testing, but says there are no reports of illness linked to the food so far. It's urging people to throw out any of the recalled products listed on its website and call a doctor if they're concerned. Rachel Treisman, NPR News.
Supreme Court says it will allow a Biden administration rule aimed at limiting planet-warming greenhouse gas emissions from coal-fired power plants to remain in place while legal challenges play out. Order from the court coming as some Republican-led states and industry groups that asked justices to halt the rule. Challengers arguing the EPA overstepped its authority when it imposed the standards they say are unobtainable. On Wall Street, the Dow was up 337 points. This is NPR. Israeli airstrikes are continuing to pound areas of Lebanon, with officials saying at least 27 people have died, including more than a dozen in a southern town. The city's mayor reportedly among the victims there. There was no immediate comment from Israel regarding the latest strikes in the southern town of Qana, which also was where 100 civilians were killed and scores of others were wounded in 1996 by Israeli shelling of a UN compound. The Italian government has passed a new legislation that restricts the ability of Italian couples to use international surrogacy. As Villa Marx reports, the law criminalizes the use of overseas surrogates and may disproportionately affect gay couples.
The law threatens potential parents with steep fines or even jail time if they use an overseas woman as a surrogate to bear a child, essentially expanding the criminal jurisdiction far beyond an earlier ban on domestic surrogacy. The right-wing government of Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni had pushed for this legislation since last year when it won majority support from Italy's lower chamber in Parliament. The ban is also intended to prevent Italian medical staff from helping in overseas fertility clinics that support surrogacy, while critics insist it will primarily target same-sex couples. Its approval by the country's Senate Wednesday has cemented this latest culturally conservative measure in the largely Catholic country, where the Vatican has already publicly condemned surrogacy. For NPR News, I'm Willem Marx.
A new pass being launched as part of a pilot program by Walt Disney will allow people to get on rides at theme parks faster, but it'll come at a cost. Disney says its Lightning Premier Pass for use at its California theme parks will cost $400 per person per day. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Fisher Investments. Fisher is committed to helping clients stay on track to reach their financial goals and enjoy a comfortable retirement. FisherInvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
We hope that you are enjoying the jazz on this public radio station. Thank you for your support.
We heard "Dat There" by Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. The History of Art Blakey is the album that's on the Blue Note label with Bobby Timmons and Lee Morgan and Wayne Shorter. I'm Tony Moa. Thank you for joining me. A lot of good jazz for you. Let's continue right now with Mulligan, Jerry Mulligan, and Nobody Else But Me. Thank you.
Thank you.